All right, everybody keeping their fluids up to date. Hopefully you're finding the water bottles useful. Welcome back, and wow, three workshops in a row. That's pretty good stuff. I hope you've been enjoying that, and that you get a chance to reflect on some of that learning. I've certainly been very stimulated by the ones that I've been at. I'd like to introduce our next keynote speaker. And as I said at the beginning of the day, resilience and sustainability covers a whole range of things. But the realm of the social and the environmental is what we're covering more now in this latter part of the afternoon. Our next speaker is Annie Keir. And Annie lives in this region. She's a very committed activist, and her focus is on community resilience in relation to environmental threats and in relation to well-being. Her capacity is as resilience coordinator at North Coast Health Promotion. In that capacity, she's worked with others to develop a very significant organisation called Sustain Northern Rivers, which is a collaboration of peak regional organisations, including this community college, and we get together to make plans and strategies to address climate change. And this model is based on one that we are kind of discovering ourselves. It's an action learning model based on distributed leadership, and it draws on network theory to maximise social innovation. The priority areas in Sustain Northern Rivers: transport, food, energy and social innovation. And this particular model includes partnerships with organisations in the vocational education and training sector and in the tertiary sector, including including TAFE and the Southern Cross University. Also, in response to the threat of coal seam gas mining, Annie has taken time off work to develop a community strategy. It's an area that she cares about a lot. And she works with a group called Lock the Gate Alliance, Northern Rivers, and it was piloted in an area where she lives, in the Channon, where 99% of citizens decided to close their roads, valleys and community to invasive gas mining. There's an uplifting YouTube video of the launch event, and it's been picked up internationally. In the Northern Rivers, in this region, the community strategy went viral as communities adopted this grassroots participative process to create their own self-declared CSG-free zones. It's informed by network theory, and this strategy builds community resilience and social capital. So, Annie's professional foundations include education, organisational change, community development. More recently, she's undertaken training in methods to engage group intelligence based on complexity science. We've tried to contain her to half an hour. It's hard for Annie, but she'll do that. And I'd like to welcome you, Annie. Thank you very much for being part of this conference.
Thank you. I love the theme of this conference. The theme, resilient communities, it resonates beautifully. Resilience is the ability to withstand shock and still retain the same basic functions. In my profession of health promotion, we've tended to use the word in its everyday sense, and I thought I understood it until I read Brian Walker. Brian is the Australian chair of the Resilience Alliance. When I was first exposed to his podcasts and writing, I found myself drawn to the fascinating set of concepts that underpin his understanding of resilience. These concepts derive from the study of living systems, otherwise known as complex adaptive systems, adult learning colleges, teams, communities, coral reefs and pond ecosystems all share some common dynamics as living systems. If resilience is the ability to withstand shock and still retain the same functions, you and I have a fantastic ability to withstand disturbance. Shock is part of life. Catastrophic shock is part of life too, although it's better if we can avoid it. In 1983, ferocious burning winds swept through where I was living in the Adelaide Hills, and I narrowly escaped and watched my house burn. Our pets burnt, and it took time to recover, and I learnt things. I was well supported by those around me and remained resilient. There's absolutely nothing remarkable about this story, because each of us here has a story of personal resilience. It's our basic human story. But here's something really important. I said I was well supported by those around me. And we humans are profoundly social creatures. All the length of our great evolutionary journey, we have lived in social groups. Our social networks are an essential part of our ability to withstand shock and maintain the same basic functions. Think about a mother whose husband suddenly dies. Neighbours bring food, or they mow the lawn. Her friends and family sit with and hold her grief. Very gradually, she is able to resume the important functions of being a parent. Our individual resilience story, it can't be separated from the communities that we're part of. In recent years, my work has impelled me to better understand what helps communities stay resilient. In 2009, my project, as Richard said, was to develop a collaboration of regional organisations to address climate change. Fortunately, my co-collaborator at that time, Ken McLeod, encouraged me to conduct an action learning project in the team that I was in at that time in health promotion. And we invited colleagues to join a learning circle to learn more about resilience. Our learning circle was an example of social learning. It had unforeseen consequences. Eventually, it led to changes in the way we thought about organisations, collaborations, and the way we planned and conducted our work. We could not grasp resilience without first understanding what makes living systems tick. Living systems have many agents or actors, all interacting with each other and with the system. They have the capacity to self-organise. Unlike mechanical systems, living systems are both complex and adaptive. They are often referred to as complex adaptive systems. And in living systems with human agents, we've got something going for ourselves that mechanical systems lack. We can learn, we can adapt to change, and with lots of players or agents in networks, human systems have something truly wonderful, which is collective or social learning. This is a picture of the engine of my i30, and it's a fabulous mechanical system, marvellously predictable. It delivers power in linear proportion to the pressure I apply to the accelerator. This mechanical system is complicated, but it's not complex and adaptive in the way of living systems. When I'm going to work, the alternator doesn't suddenly get together with the drive shaft and invent a new way of going up the big hill from my place, thank goodness. It has no surprising emergent qualities and no capacity to self-organise. This is a picture of a complex, adaptive or living system with tremendous capacity to self-organise. It's some of those involved in Sustain Northern Rivers, the collaboration that Richard mentioned, of peak regional organisations to address climate change. Sustain Northern Rivers is concerned with the resilience of our region as a whole. Are our food, transport, energy and collaborative systems sufficient to withstand shock and disturbance? Adult education is an important part of our capacity to build resilience, and North Coast colleges are important members of our collaboration. Byron Community College, our host today, has led the way with the most innovative and wonderful courses in sustainability. In Sustain Northern Rivers, Member organisations affirm a common purpose and work together on priority areas of transport, food, energy and social innovation. Social innovation is another way of saying social learning. We recognise that the issues facing our region were of such magnitude they could not be addressed by business as usual, with us all in silos. Solutions to complex problems can only be found by business as unusual, in the space between the organisations, which is why one of our priority areas focused on social innovation. To increase the resilience of our region, we need to increase our capacity for social learning. Here's another image of that collaboration. This is a social network analysis of sustained northern rivers before it formed on the left and 1 year after it got going. It would be way bigger now if we were to do it now. It shows a dramatic increase in the number of network connections which people could draw on for climate change problem solving. Projects arise in the rich, decentralised networks which became a kind of soft infrastructure to help with regional resilience. We came to understand how networks like this are bigger than the sum of their parts. Group intelligence becomes possible. We started calling this networked intelligence as it became clearer that social learning and intelligence are networked phenomena. Here's an example. Our car-dependent region has little transport data. The team I belong to had done a staff commuting survey for all of North Coast State Health Services. When I took this to Sustain Northern Rivers, a conversation blossomed between our friends in Southern Cross University, TAFE, and the Social Development Council. And in a flash, we had adapted the health promotion instrument for a survey monkey, which we then ran out in 16 organisations. By combining the data, we were able to map commuter flows to major regional towns, and suddenly we had data on where these commuters came from, their travel preferences and peak times of travel. This novel way of mapping commuter patterns is a classic example of networked intelligence. This useful project emerged unanticipated from the interaction of the actors, and this solution lay in the space between our organisations. When we collaborate with high trust and mutuality, an intelligence arises from the network that is so much bigger than the sum of its parts. Whatever the scale we're working at, it's essential for resilience.